Good morning, everybody. It's nice to see you all. Put your hand up if you were ever a shepherd in the school play. Yeah? Put your hand up if you got to be an angel in the school play. Okay, brilliant. That's good news. Did anybody get to be Mary or Joseph? Or Plum Part? Okay, right, okay. That's great. Well, look, this morning I want us to take a look at this so well-known bit of scripture in a little bit of a fresh way, okay? So I thought we'd start with shepherds. We've just sung that beautiful carol from the squalor of a borrowed stable, and before that we sang While Shepherds Watched Their Flocks by Night. I thought we might like to know a little bit about it. So it was written probably about 1700 by an Irishman called Nahum Tate, and for many years, it was the almost 100 years, it was the only carol approved for communal singing in the Church of England. The only one, the only other communal pieces were psalms, sung psalms. And the reason for that was because the words of this carol were considered to be so close to what scripture actually says that there was no risk of people being led astray. Nahum Tate went on to be the British Poet Laureate for many years, and if you're ever up in London, he's buried in St Paul's Cathedral. Much of the carol that we've sung is taken from Luke chapter 2, and so we're going to read that now. Oh, yes. So you can read on screen, I'll read out loud, and we'll hear this very famous passage again. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Yeah, 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 we say, we've heard this, we've read it, we've stood up the front, we've read it in school, we're here every year in numerous carol services, shepherds, angels, Bethlehem baby. Yeah, got it, got this part of the story. But actually there's a lot going on here. So let's have a look around today. First of all, there are a lot of shepherds in the Bible. Abel, the son of Adam and Eve, was a shepherd, as were Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. Moses was a shepherd when God called him. King David started as a shepherd and was out looking after the sheep when Samuel came looking for a king. And the prophet Amos was also a shepherd. Sounds like quite an illustrious line of work to come from. But by the time Jesus was born, shepherds were despised by society and considered unclean, continually being accused of stealing other people's sheep. Did you know that shepherds were so disreputable at that time that their testimony was inadmissible in court? Because everybody knew you can't trust a shepherd. With the exception of lepers, shepherds were the lowest class of men in Israel. Anyway, here are these shepherds. They're out on the hills. They're working the night shift out on the hills just outside of Bethlehem. It's an ordinary night as far as they know it, and it's dark, and there's a long night ahead. They are settling in for a really boring time in the main. unless something happens, unless there's a wolf or an eagle or something else or other shepherds coming to steal their sheep. Being a shepherd at night was a pretty boring job to have. And then something happens. I've got two pictures in this slideshow that are original artworks, and I've left my bit of paper at home with the name of who painted them, and I feel dreadful about that. But anyway, this is the first one, an orange angel, I've called it in my slides. And then all of a sudden, an angel appears in front of them, speaking those famous words. I've heard them sometimes described as the angel's password. Do not be afraid, or fear not. Bit of a shock, really. Everybody's a bit taken back, wondering what's going on. And then the angel keeps talking. One angel bringing this message from God. Tonight in David's town is born to you a saviour, the Messiah, Christ the Lord. Now, we know that this wasn't new news because we've read the Bible. This was already set out 400 years ago in one of Micah's prophecies. Micah 5 verse 2 says, "But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth from me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from old, from ancient days." But to be honest, if you're a shepherd on a hillside outside of Bethlehem in the middle of the night, you probably aren't sitting there thinking about a 400-year-old prophecy. But you are part of the fulfillment of that prophecy. And then there's a little phrase and it says, "The glory of the Lord shone around them." I don't know what you picture at that point. Clearly I pictured orange light. But I don't know what that would be like for you, whether you picture really bright light, sparkles, what's happening in the sky over Bethlehem. But again, we know our Bibles. The Bible tells us that the glory of the Lord is the sign of his presence. When the glory of the Lord came into the temple, that meant that God was there to bless his people. And it's the same here. God's presence in real time was there to bless these shepherds. I wonder if you can imagine it. Silence for 400 years, and then all of a sudden there's a blaze of light and God speaks through an angelic messenger, not to the religious leaders who are up in Jerusalem, not to the government officials, not even to the Roman rulers who caused such pain and distress to the people of Israel, but to shepherds, pretty much the lowest of the low. The shepherds were terrified, and I think I would have been too. This is just like Isaiah when he encounters God's glory in Isaiah chapter 6. This isn't Santa Claus coming down the chimney. This is the glory of the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel. And then suddenly, if one angel wasn't enough, there are tons of them. I liked this picture because the angels don't look cute. Whenever we see angels on Christmas cards, they always look cute. They normally look female. They've normally got lovely wavy hair and beautiful white things and huge white wings with feathers. That doesn't kind of match in at all to the description of angels given in the Bible. But I love this picture because there's the idea that there were loads and loads and loads of them and that they were there doing what they are always doing. So they're praising God. They're singing glory to God in the highest. They heap honour upon the majesty of God. That's what they're doing in the sky. They're not floating, going, ah. They are praising God because that's what the angels do in heaven. Secondly, as they praise God, they also announce on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests. These angels sing of reconciliation, of the amazing grace of God and mercy available to all people. I wonder how long the armies of heaven stayed in the skies over Bethlehem. Don't you wonder? Was it like a sudden kind of burst and then they went? Did they like do a whole song and then they went? Did they just stay there praising God? Was this a glimpse of heaven on earth? I don't know, but I do know it must have been amazing. And then all of a sudden, they're gone. They're back where they normally are. They're back in the glory of heaven, before the throne of God the Father, and they're still praising God. I kind of imagine, it doesn't say in scripture, but I imagine there must have been a long moment of fairly shocked silence at that point. I don't know what you would have done, I think there must have been some moment where the shepherds wanted to join in with all that praising God. But I imagine when the angels went, there was silence. But then the shepherds start talking to each other, and then they respond. And the Bible tells us that they hurried to Bethlehem. They didn't have a long debate and think, oh, well, maybe we'll go in the morning. They didn't think, oh, well, you know, on the way home, let's make sure the sheep are all right, and then we'll sort it out. It tells us they hurried to Bethlehem. And I think I would have done that too, desperate to see what awaited me in Bethlehem. These men, amongst the lowest of the low, have an incredible privilege that we would all have loved to have had. They saw Jesus on the night he was born. They saw Jesus Christ face to face. And then they're off again because they want to tell everybody. Revelation, faith, testimony is the story of the shepherds. It's such a visual story, and I want us to think about it on a bigger scale just for a minute or two. These shepherds had an amazing, life-changing experience. But what happened that night wasn't just for them. It's not just the shepherds who are changed, not the shepherds who find faith, not that the shepherds who hurry off to tell the world about Jesus. That night, God was changing the world. And there's a verse in Psalm 139, which is one of my favourite verses, favourite psalms, and it says this about God. Even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. I find that whole psalm very comforting and a reminder that God sees what we do not see and what we cannot see. On that night, so many years ago, there were things going on that the shepherds just couldn't see. So I wanted to just make a couple of points this morning to you about the things that God sees that you might find it difficult to see, and I might find it hard to see as well. This is one of those moments in Scripture when we're reminded there is more around us all the time than the things that we can see. I like this because it reminds me that the whole army of angels didn't suddenly appear in the skies of earth and start singing. This is what they do. They praise God. They glorify God all the time. It's just that for a moment, the shepherds got to see it. If you go to Revelation chapter 19, you'll find that the angels are constantly praising God, singing, "Hallelujah, our God reigns." Heaven is real, and God sits on the throne now and always. So I don't know what's happening in your life, but maybe you need today the vision of the angels before the throne, praising God. Hallelujah, our God reigns. We're temporal. We live within time. Time worries us. We're always thinking that we've not got enough time. It's taking too much time. We're in the wrong time. We're very time orientated, aren't we? Maybe right now you're thinking, how much longer is Rachel going to go on for? But God lives outside of time. He lives in eternity. Everything, Howard's nodding. Everything is within his view and within his power. I'm going to say that again. Everything is within God's view and everything is within his power. At the time the shepherds were in the fields, there was war in their world. Same now. Jane, in her prayers, reminded us of some of the awful conflicts going on in the world at the moment. But the angel song reminds us that one day there will be perfect peace. Not temporary peace, not hard-won negotiated peace, but perfect peace as the Lord returns. The shepherds were part of a society that lived under a dominating and ruthless Roman rule, not knowing that the Messiah had come back among them. The shepherds get to know first, and then Jesus comes, and the world has a reason for hope. It is true today, we know people, we live in a world where many people live in fear and despair and desperately need to know the joyful news about Jesus. And finally, we're not able to see ahead. Do you know, I can't think how many times in life I've been so glad that I couldn't see what was round the corner because it would have destroyed me. I wasn't brave enough or confident enough. I would have been very frightened. And yet God already saw what was ahead and knew what I could handle. So the shepherds were shocked. We're told they were terrified by something so sudden and so unexpected, just like us. But yet God is not shocked and God is not surprised. His plan and purpose were set out long ago and it isn't thwarted by the things that we do or even the things we don't do. Back in Isaiah chapter 9, we often read this at Christmas, don't we? We're told this. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. And this continues to be true down the ages right up until today. So this Christmas time, I want to remind you of four things from that first Christmas night that are undoubtedly true for you, whether or not you've been a Christian for a long time, whether you're new to faith, or you're here this morning because you'd like to find out more about what Christmas means. First of all, I want to remind you, whatever you are, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, God sees you and he knows you. Okay. So for those moments when you think, I don't think I feel very Christmassy at all. There's too much going on in my life for me to be able to just suddenly be bright and bubbly. Whether you are thinking, I am worried about my health, I am worried about my children, I am worried about my friendships, whether you are worried about your health, wherever you are and whatever you are doing, God sees you and he knows you right now, just like he could see all that was happening that first Christmas night. Secondly, God is not interested in your status, your money, your power, or your popularity, or the opposite of all of those. God sees your heart, and he loves you already. I think one of the hardest things in the Christian life is to accept that God sees us and he loves us already. Not because of what we do, not because of how much we pray, not because we lead the best life that we can, but just because he loves us. The Christmas story tells us that Jesus stepped out of the glory of heaven to give us a way back to God. I often think about that. I think about that moment. And you know, when we get to Easter, I often think about the other way round. We're in an earthly realm. What must it have been like in heaven when Jesus ascended? I always think I would have quite liked to be there for that party. Jesus thinks that you are worth the price he paid. You might not feel it. You might not feel that you were worth it. But Jesus is clear with us. You are worth the price he paid. I think somebody this morning needs to hear that. You are absolutely worth it as far as God is concerned. With all your flaws and failures, with all the times you're grumpy, with all the things you wish you were but aren't, God thinks you're worth it. And then finally, just something for you to be thinking about, maybe in the run-up till Christmas. I'm going to try and be thinking about this as I go to sleep each night between now and Christmas. As you sit here, the angels of heaven are still rejoicing because of what Jesus has done for you and will do for you. You are part of the reason that they praise God, singing hallelujah, our God reigns. The shepherds' response to all they saw that night, well, Luke 2 said that they returned, presumably, back to the fields and the sheep, and they were glorifying and praising God. So I'll say to you again, the shepherds received a revelation of the Messiah. They found faith in Jesus, and then they gave testimony. Maybe this Christmas, that could be our pattern too. Revelation, faith and testimony. How great is our God. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you that your word is both time-honoured and steady, but also fresh and new. Lord, I thank you that right now in heaven, you are surrounded by the angels and the elders singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Lord, as we are here on earth bound in time, we remember that our journey takes us home to you and to the glory of heaven. Father, we are a bit like the shepherds. Maybe the court might listen to us. Maybe we're not the lowest of the low. But Lord, we're just ordinary people doing ordinary things. And Lord, we pray that this Christmas you would show yourself to us yet again, that we, like the shepherds, might hasten to sit at the feet of Jesus and to tell others about your majesty and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.